Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Well, good morning and welcome to Apex Online. I'm so glad that you've joined us for another episode of our online experience. Can you remember the first time you ever sent an email to someone? Well, for me, it was over 20 years ago. It was whilst I was in primary school, and it was a big moment in our school life. There was only one PC in our school, and the head teacher took us into the library and turned on this computer, and we stood there in anticipation to see what happened when she turned on the computer. It took ages for this thing to warm up. And then when she got the thing turned on, she had to connect it to the internet. And maybe if you're old enough, you'll remember how you used to use a dial-up modem. And it meant that you couldn't be on your house phone at the same time, the landline, if you were on the internet. And it used to make that ringing noise, making the connection so that you were on the World Wide Web. And then you could search the internet or you could send an email. And the head teacher finally opened up the Outlook inbox and then began to type up a message on an email, and we were mesmerized by this. We thought, wow, this is so cool. And then she went to send it to herself. She just sent herself an email. It seems so silly now looking back, because every single day most of us on our smartphones are writing emails or sending messages. But back in 20 years ago, it was an incredible moment for a little boy. Today I want to talk to you about communication, about prayer, about speaking to our Father in heaven. In that story I told you, there was a moment when she sent the email that she scrolled up to the top of the screen, and for the first time I saw someone click on the send and receive icon. That's the button which gives a command for your inbox to synchronize with the internet. Find out if there are any emails addressed to you and then pull it down from the internet and onto your computer. That's my thought today, send and receive. My thoughts today on prayer, and you could be watching today and wondering, well, what's the point? Why bother? Maybe, as I've explained the difficulty and the challenge and the frustration of that first encounter I had with email, maybe your prayer life feels a little bit like that. You just feel frustrated. It just seems to take so long. It's so difficult. Maybe you find yourself in a place where you're wondering, well, what's the point? If God has got it all sorted already, why do we even need to pray? Or maybe you've got moments of disappointment where you've prayed and it seems like your prayers have been unanswered. Well, Jesus spoke a lot about prayer and he did a lot of praying. And in the Bible, we read a very famous portion where he teaches on prayer. And part of that we know is the Lord's Prayer. And in that, he tells us the content of our prayer. He then goes on to tell a parable which encourages us to be persistent in prayer. And then he gives an example of how faithful our Father in heaven is. I wonder, could you, if you're watching at home, maybe turn with me in your Bible to Luke's Gospel, chapter 11. And I'm going to read from verse 1. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answered, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you, then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The disciples had been brought up and trained how to pray. They had witnessed so many people praying in the synagogue. But there was something about how Jesus prayed that intrigued them and interested them, so much so that they would go to Jesus and ask him, teach us to pray. You know, Jesus invites us to pray. You know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, right before he is betrayed by Judas, Jesus invites his disciples to pray. He didn't invite them to fight. And there's a moment where Peter gets excited and he pulls out his sword as the soldiers are coming. Jesus tells him to put his sword down. But he did invite him to pray. See, there's something so important about praying. So much so that Jesus would respond to their request and give a clear and concise teaching about what we should pray about, how we should pray, but also that we can trust in God's faithfulness to answer our prayers. They asked this question, teach us how to pray. When was the last time that you asked Jesus to teach you how to pray? I've been in tons of prayer meetings. I've heard many things prayed. I have prayed since a young age. And I once again am asking this question, Jesus, teach me how to pray. Jesus is our model of how we are to pray. Jesus shows us a better way. When Jesus prays, he is speaking directly to his Father in heaven. He speaks in a way that is relational, but also reverent. See, prayer is personal. Over the past couple of years, during the lockdowns and things like that, I was intentional to reconnect with someone who I hadn't heard from for quite a while. I'd seen what was happening on social media, but I thought, I want to know in a more personal way how they are doing. It was one of my roommates that I spent time with whilst at Bible college, and he's now a missionary with his family in Turkey. And I reached out to him, we exchanged numbers, and we've been communicating a lot more often, and it's been so encouraging to see what God is doing in his life. But now we're able to stay in touch. And that's my first point this morning. Jesus shows us it's so important that we stay in touch. That we're not distant, that we're not disconnected, but we stay in touch with our Father. That through prayer, we can have this connection with Him. Prayer is the vehicle to sustain your connection with God. Your relationship with God is established in trust and faith in Him, but it's developed through prayer, worship, and service. In this parable, Jesus uses the relationship between friends to explain and describe what prayer should be. Think about this. There were no shops open. There were nowhere to go for bread. No bakers. Not even a Greg's. And in his desperation, he turns to someone for help. Can I ask you, at midnight, who would you go to ask for help? The first person that comes to your mind is probably going to be someone who's very close. Someone who you have a good relationship with. And Jesus is making the point here that we can come to Him with anything at any time. And one of the reasons that we maybe don't do that is because we're not very close. And even this morning, I want to encourage you to reconnect and be intentional and stay in touch to get closer to Him through prayer. I love what John Dawson says. He says, everyone prays. Even non-Christians pray. I think there's probably non-Christians have got themselves in a tight spot and have surely cried out in prayer. But, he says, the difference when Christians do it is that they are climbing into the lap of their Heavenly Father. What a beautiful picture. And when we come to pray, we're staying in touch. We're climbing into the lap of our Heavenly Father. Jesus says in the parable that it was at midnight that the friend had came. It's the end of a day, but it's also the start of a new day. Midnight is the moment where one day ends and a new day begins. It's the start and the end. Both happen in the dark. And in this Lord's Prayer, as Jesus explains the content of our prayer, one of the cornerstones in here is forgiveness. Forgiveness is a new start. When Jesus forgives you of your sin, you're given a new start. And forgiveness is a cornerstone of our relationship with God. That we have been forgiven. Now we are in right relationship with our Father. And we are connected. And we stay in touch through prayer. But also the verse goes on to encourage us and says that we forgive those who forgive, who have sinned against us. Those that have sinned against us. God has forgiven us our sins. And we are to forgive others. And maybe you're tuned in today and you find yourself in that midnight hour. You need a new start. And Jesus teaches us that if we are going to be in prayer and communicating with our Father, staying in touch, then we need to make sure we're not holding on to any unforgiveness. That we recognize that He has forgiven us of so much that we too forgive those who have sinned against us. So if maybe you're feeling a little bit of distance, well, it could be the unforgiveness that you're carrying. Can you choose today to lay that down? Now, Jesus understands because He's your friend. I remember probably one of the biggest influences in my life was my Granny Liz. She modeled how to live the real deal Christian life. Not platform stuff, not everything looking good, pretending, real deal. That even when life was difficult and challenging, her faith was so strong. With a little boy, I spent so much time with her, and she cleaned the Baptist church in our hometown, and I would go with her, and I just know that I soaked up so much at a young age from her. And I remember when she went on to receive her eternal reward, we went to our funeral service, and one of the hymns that we sang was, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. You know, Jesus is your friend. And in this parable, he talks about a friend that comes and asks for help. He's run out, doesn't have enough to serve the person who's come to his home. Now, we'd be in a panic, we'd get in a flap, we'd do our best. We could go to the 24-hour garage, but you know, this situation at this time, this would have been a really shocking thing to happen. It was their duty to provide hospitality for those who were their guests. And he turns to a friend. Why did he go to this friend? Because he knew this friend would help. He knew that he had what he needed. He comes to a friend, and the friend in his home is there with his family. From the description, we can see that Jesus is saying that this family was probably a poor family. They all lived in the same room. They were all in the same bed together. Everybody was keeping each other warm. And it's hard to believe that, maybe, but we don't have to go too far back, and that probably did happen in our town. Everybody lived in one room, everybody stayed, and probably even shared the same bed. But in that moment, the friend responds. You know, Jesus is described in 2 Corinthians as this: "For you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich." Jesus made himself poor so that you could be rich. He gave everything. He poured everything out so that you could be made rich. And I'm not talking about financial wealth today. I am talking about spiritual well-being and wholeness. Jesus has done it all. He knows all that we need. Jesus is your friend. He comes for three loaves. Three loaves is enough for one person. And this is teaching us what Jesus says in the prayer, that we are to ask for our daily bread, just enough for each day. Why? Because he wants us to stay in touch. We need to completely depend on God every single day. Not just to store up and then forget about him, and when we run out, come back to him again. No, every day asking for him to meet our every single need. He knows what we need. We can turn to him at any moment. Whether it's the midnight hour or right at the start, you can turn to him. So we can stay in touch, but also we should expect a response, because prayer is positive. Rick Warren says this: positive praying is much more powerful than positive thinking. The first response that Jesus gives here is negative. And it's probably the one that we would naturally go to. Well, why do we bother? You know, they're in their beds. They're not going to want to get up. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be awkward. I'm going to have to interrupt them. Look, let's just forget about it, and let's just deal with whatever happens. But that's not the real response. In fact, Jesus tells him that it wasn't because of their friendship, it was because of the persistence of the friend that they get up out of bed, they find the loaves, and they give it to their friend. You need to expect a response when you pray. See, that is the correct approach to prayer, is coming expecting to receive an answer. Prayer is positive. It's not a hopeless task. We should be positive in our prayers, expecting and believing for a response. This passage is actually teaching us that God is eager to give. That when we are persistent, we reveal our desire, but also that we trust the one that we are asking. He believed his friend could help him. Your friend Jesus can help you. When you come to prayer, expect a response. And finally today, never give up. Prayer is persistent. In our church recently, we had a baptism service, and Scott, who was baptized, if you were watching, he mentioned that his wife Hilda prayed for him for 27 years. Never give up. And maybe you find yourself today at a moment where you feel like you've prayed and prayed and you've still not received your answer. You haven't seen the breakthrough. You haven't seen the miracle. Don't give up. Jesus is teaching us to be persistent in our prayers. Persistence shows how much you want what you are praying for. And here's three things quickly. Why we should practice persistence. Because it does more to change our hearts and minds rather than trying to convince God to do things our way. Also, it teaches us and recognizes that God is doing a work within us. It's the process of synchronization. I mentioned earlier when you hit that send and receive button, or if you use Microsoft Outlook or Mail or whatever you use for your emails, it'll actually come up saying synchronizing. And what's happening here is there's something going on. There is something coming. There is something about to be received, but there's a process of synchronization, and that's what persistence is. Continuing to pray and aligning ourselves with God's heart. That's the third thing. It allows us to move from, God, do everything that I want, to, Lord, have your way. And that's when the synchronization finishes, when you submit to his ways and his will. Jesus says to ask, and whatever you ask, it will be given. He'll give you what you need. God is always willing to answer. Sometimes it's a yes. Sometimes it's a no, or maybe it's just not now, but God always knows best. It's been said that if the request is wrong, God says no. If the timing is wrong, God says slow. If you are wrong, God says grow. But if the request is right, and the timing is right, and you are right, God says go. Seek. Find why you need it. That is what we call discernment. That's the wisdom that God gives us. And then he says to knock, and the way will be opened. The door will be opened. The direction that you need to go forward in. That's what he promises. To ask, seek, and to knock. Can I say finally to you today, that just as your Father in heaven, or just as, your fathers here on earth are not perfect. I'm not perfect. I'm not an ideal father, far from it. But I still know how to give good gifts to my kids. Well, how much more does our Father in heaven, who is perfect and never make mistakes, know how to give good gifts to his children? You know, Jesus invites us to pray. I mentioned earlier that in the Garden of Gethsemane, he gives an invitation to watch and to pray. To pray along with him. And the good news is that Jesus is praying for you. The bad news is you're going to need it. See, Jesus prays for us at different points. And first of all, when he is on the cross, he prays, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. He also prays whilst he is in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he is wrestling with what was about to happen. He prays, not my will, but your will be done. He also prays for you. That's what he does now. He intercedes for you. That's what the Bible tells us in Hebrews. But there came a moment when one of his disciples, Peter again, Jesus came to him and said, in a few hours' time, you are going to deny me three times. And in that moment where he breaks this news to Peter, he says, Simon, Simon, that was his name before Jesus called him Peter. Satan has sought to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. In his biggest failure, the greatest mistake that Peter ever made, Jesus was praying for him. And I want to say to you today, as you're watching me, Jesus is praying for you. Jesus invites you to pray. And what he's saying is, I want to be in relationship with you. I want us to stay in touch. I want to know you. I want you to know me. I want us not to be distant. I want to be close. I've done everything I possibly can to be in relationship with you. Jesus didn't stay up in heaven and just shout prayers at us. He came down to earth and he gave his life. And his arms were opened up wide as he was hung upon a cross. And in that moment, all our sin was placed upon him so that we could be forgiven of our sins. He pays the penalty. He takes the punishment. And he gives his last breath. He prays from that cross first. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He gives his last breath. His blood flows from him. He becomes a sacrifice for our sins. So that today we could turn to him and ask him to come into our hearts and enter into a relationship with our Father in heaven. He promises that he'll take us to be with him in heaven forevermore. I wonder today, if you're watching me, if you had a moment where you knew for sure that you are in a relationship with Jesus. A few weeks ago, there was someone watching, and during this moment, they prayed this prayer, and that could be you today. And this could be your moment where you begin your relationship with Jesus. And just repeat these words after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you came into this world. You went to the cross. You died for my sins. I recognize I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Make me a new person by the power of your Spirit. Help me to follow you all the days of my life. I confess you are my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, if you prayed that just now, can you reach out to us, send us a message on Facebook or an email? We'd love to connect with you and help you. But friend, as you've been watching today, I want to encourage you. Come on, let's stay in touch. Let's pray just as Jesus taught us to pray. Let's expect a response and never give up. So whatever you're going through right now and something you are thinking about, it's too hard, it's too difficult. I want to pray right now for you. Lord Jesus, help us to be persistent, to be eager in our desire to bring our requests to you. We know you're the answer. We know you're the source. We know you have all that we need. So Father, we come to you with all our requests. And we ask once again, will you move in our situations? Will you have your way? Lord, do the work within us first. Prepare us to be ready to receive the answer that you have. Make us and change us and align us with your will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.